Yes, we are still here. This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of March 3rd, 2005.
All right, police! Police!
Bad Cop No Donut!
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto.
This is hate mongering.
Ryerson University has come under pressure from the city's police chief to ban a program on its campus radio station that airs negative stories about the cops.
Considering a campus radio station show, Bad Cop, No Donut, to be hate mongering.
And it's brought some sharp criticism from Julian Fantino.
In quotes, the police chief there in Toronto, Julian Fantino, "I am disgusted that this kind of hate-mongering would be directed at our police officers." So the chief wants something done.
The show is called Bad Cop, No Donut.
Program called Bad Cop, No Donut, which Chief Fantino has pressured Ryerson to ban.
Bad Cop, No Donut.
He considered their programming hate-mongering, particularly the show Bad Cop, No Donut. Radio program on CKLN that caught the attention of Chief Fantino in not a positive way.
Chief Fantino would like to see it off the air.
Bad Cop, No Donut.
He regards it as broadcast hatred.
Just a litany of anti-cop stories gleaned from papers and press reports across North America.
A Canadian talk show host, the police want to see silenced.
Is he peddling hate or just a misguided radio host?
Why don't you tell us what the email address is?
IHatePigs@hotmail.com.
IHatePigs.com.
I mean, you've given up the email address, but it was IHatePigs.com.
Yeah,
hotmail.
You know...
IHatePigs@hotmail.com. This is a cop-hating audience, or they wouldn't respond to an email address like that. Okay, I don't want to needle you forever on this, but...
Your sign-off was, contact me at IHatePigs@hotmail.com.
I hate cops, or I hate pigs, excuse me.
It's IHatePigs.com.
Police officers write to IHatePigs@hotmail.com.
IHatePigs@hotmail.com.
We open this conversation with your email address. Which, why not mix the I hate pigs stories with the "this is the way in which I was served and protected"?
It's pretty one-sided then, wouldn't you say?
Obviously, you're not there to praise the work of the police departments around North America.
You're really giving it a fair chance there. I know you're a self-described anarchist.
But this is true.
And a self-described anarchist.
What does an anarchist do when a crime has been committed against him or her, Ron? If you're a journalist, then where is the balance? Attracting the attention and ire of Chief Fantino this week. And the amount of complaints that come out is so minuscule.
Do you have an axe to grind against the cops?
He considers himself a journalist.
Well, are you a hate-mongering fiend?
I think you have to have your facts straight, Ron.
So you're not making this up?
Yes, we have had our problems at the Toronto Police Service. I know you just about broke down the door when you heard this guy was on. Here's another bad cop behaving badly. Ron, come on to the dark side. Come on over here. Come on, come on, come on. Raise a family, have a job, pay some taxes, die of coronary artery disease.
Before we get started with this week's program, I would like to spend a moment addressing the recent attention that this program received in the mainstream Canadian media because of criticism from outgoing Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino. In front of television cameras belonging to the largest privately owned television network in Canada, and in an interview with the Toronto Star, Chief Fantino called this program hate-mongering and expressed concerns about our description of an ongoing corruption scandal involving the Toronto Police Service. We guessed correctly that much of the media attention was likely to focus on our former email address. It was my feeling that the email address should be changed because I did not wish it to become the focus of my work. Furthermore, it is my opinion and the opinion of CKLN that our programming, including this program, does not engage in hate-mongering in any way. On the contrary, CKLN provides a necessary voice to communities often ignored in the mainstream media, and in doing so, frequently fights against the very hate-mongering alleged by the police chief. As for the Toronto police corruption scandal, Fantino took issue with my description of the corruption as widespread. The investigation into the Toronto police is being conducted by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The investigation is ongoing and has already taken 2 years. So far, according to the Toronto Star, dozens of charges have been filed against Toronto police officers. The head of the Toronto Police Association has been arrested twice, most recently just a few weeks ago. Two sons of a former Toronto police chief are facing charges. In light of the fact that the investigation continues, I believe my description of the corruption is an accurate one. I would like to assure everyone that aside from the change in email address, we have no plans to tone down the content of this program. We'll have more on this later after the headlines. But we have an extra week to catch up on, so let's begin with what the police have done to us over the past 2 weeks. A man died after a confrontation with police in Toronto last Tuesday. According to an account in the Toronto Star, the 37-year-old Nigerian refugee died in hospital where he was taken after police subdued him. Police responded to a call about a man who was behaving strangely and eventually arrested the man under the terms of the Mental Health Act, which has been criticized over recent changes, which make it easier for police to force a suspect into a psychiatric assessment. The incident will be investigated by Ontario's Special Investigations Unit. Charges against a Toronto police officer were dismissed by a judge last week because the case took too long to come to trial. According to the Toronto Star, the 13 dropped charges against Constable Ned Mayotis included assault, sexual assault, assault causing bodily harm, uttering threats, and pointing a firearm, all relating to an alleged female victim. Other dropped charges included possession of a prohibited and restricted weapon and storing firearms in a careless manner. But the officer may have bigger problems ahead. The Star's report says that Mayotis is one of the officers already facing charges resulting from an ongoing RCMP corruption investigation of the Toronto Police. He has been on paid leave since shortly after he was arrested in May 2002. A former Starbuck, Minnesota police officer was found guilty by a jury this week on charges relating to having sex with a 17-year-old girl. The Associated Press reports that Officer Scott Mogler was convicted on 2 counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct. He's accused of having sex with the girl twice while he was on duty and in uniform on 2 occasions last July. One of the incidents took place in the Starbuck City Council chambers. Mogler is free on bail until his sentencing. A police officer in Clarksville, Indiana, stands accused of fondling a young girl and forcing her to perform a sex act while he watched. According to a report published by WFIE in Evansville, Officer Mike Otto Jr. is charged with molesting the girl when she was between the ages of 9 and 10 in 1996 and 1997. The chief of the Clarksville police has recommended that Otto be fired. The officer is free on bond and his trial is set to begin in August.
Who knows what goes on with people's personal lives? Obviously something went awry here. And Mr. Osborne, for all intent purposes now, I think is done as far as the police department here. Whatever his future holds for him, I really don't know, but it doesn't look good.
The chief of police in West Homestead, Pennsylvania, has been arrested on federal charges involving his alleged sexual relationship with a 14-year-old girl. Reports in the local media say that the victim was questioned by federal agents and said that she had sex with Chief David Osborne, who she referred to as Dutch, his nickname, several times when she was 14, in an unmarked police car and in the chief's home. A day later, the chief denied a sexual relationship with the girl when questioned by investigators, but he subsequently admitted to the relationship after an apparent suicide attempt. Osborne was arrested last week. A suspended New York City detective was held in custody last week in lieu of a $250,000 bond after he was arraigned on charges of molesting 2 11-year-old girls earlier this month. According to the Journal News, Detective Brian Tewitt became the focus of an investigation after the girl's guardian filed a complaint against him. Tewitt is on suspension and he is currently facing similar charges after attacking a different girl in the Bronx. Tewitt's children, who he had sole custody of, have been removed from his home by authorities, and he has been ordered not to have any contact with the 2 girls who he is accused of molesting most recently. Investigators say they are looking into other allegations involving the detective. A police officer in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, has been arrested and charged with sexually assaulting a woman after a traffic stop. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Officer Daryl Allen stopped the woman on January 1st on suspicion of driving while impaired. Allen admitted that after he drove the woman to a police station, he kissed her, fondled her breasts, and exposed himself. He has been on leave since that time. Prosecutors say he first drove the woman to another location where he asked her personal questions for around 45 minutes. Allen is free on a $150,000 bond after being charged with indecent assault, indecent exposure, and official oppression. The victim of the attack informed a friend whose fiancé was a police officer. That officer chose to notify authorities. The woman has filed a lawsuit against the officer and the town which employed him. A police officer in Jamestown, New York, who is already facing jail time over stalking and harassment charges involving three women, is now facing 23 departmental misconduct charges involving seven women, including a mother of four who has been missing since August. The Buffalo News reports that Officer Michael Watson is now accused of concealing his sexual relationship with the missing woman from investigators. He is also accused of having sex with two police department employees. The new internal charges against Watson document alleged misconduct dating back to 1990. Also included in the charges is an allegation that he exposed himself to a female officer outside of a bagel shop over 7 years ago. This week, a jury found a Jackson, Mississippi police officer guilty of using his position to force a woman to have sex with him. A report in the Clarion Ledger says that Officer Maceo Simmons was accused by his victim of driving her to a remote location after a traffic stop and forcing her to have sex with him. Another officer, Thomas Ketchings, was accused of acting as a lookout during the incident. Simmons faces life in prison when he is sentenced in May. Ketchings was suspended for a short time, but subsequently returned to active duty.
If the allegations prove true, obviously it's going to be extremely disappointing. I guess it would be best to characterize it as very minimal acquaintances. They had seen each other over the course of time at the health club, but that was the extent of their knowledge of one another.
I can't imagine, I mean, somebody doing something like that, but makes you keep your eye over your shoulder.
A police officer in Minneapolis was arrested last week after being accused of kidnapping and rape, but was released 2 days later without being charged. Local media outlets are reporting that Officer David Hansen was arrested after a woman claimed that he asked her for a drive home from her gym, got into her car, and then made her drive home at gunpoint before raping her. Police say a further investigation must be completed before Hansen can be charged with a crime. He remains on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation. A police officer in Austin, Texas, has been charged with two counts of improper sexual activity with a person in custody and one count of official oppression. News 8 Austin says that Officer Jason Randall Lockerbie is accused of touching the breasts of two women in custody, one last March and one last June. Police say they are also investigating a number of other allegations against Lockerbie involving alleged improper contact with women. A King County, Washington sheriff's deputy has been accused in court documents of protecting a prostitution ring using his job. The ring was busted by police in 2003, but investigators recently learned that one of their own officers helped the online escort service in question stay in business. The accused deputy, Dan Ring, has had other trouble in his past, according to stories in the Seattle media. They report that in the past, Ring has been accused of stealing money from an 85-year-old man and of stalking his ex-wife. In court documents, Deputy Ring is accused of offering the prostitutes advice on how to avoid arrest, revealing the identities of undercover police officers and police informants to them, and using the sheriff's database to do background checks for the escort service. Court documents also say that Ring harassed his ex-wife for years. Over a one-year period, he is alleged to have made over 500 police database searches connected to his ex-wife. Ring has been on paid leave since his January arrest for theft and stalking. An analysis in the Oklahoma newspaper Tulsa World this week found that black people were arrested, stopped, searched, and were the victims of excessive use of force by Tulsa police at a rate that is disproportionate to their population. During the time period for which the data was examined, black people were also found to be more likely to receive a citation. The data examined for the report was collected by the city over a seven-month period in 2004 as part of a settlement in a racial discrimination lawsuit filed by black police officers. Tulsa Police Chief Dave Bean says that the data is consistent with national trends. During the seven-month period in which data was collected, 32% of the almost 16,500 arrests made by the Tulsa Police Department were of black people. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2003, black people made up around 16% of the Tulsa population. Community leaders in Dallas have expressed concerns about race-related statistics compiled last year by the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition. A report from NBC5 in Dallas says that the statewide statistics reveal that black drivers were twice as likely as white drivers to be searched during a traffic stop. Latinos were three times as likely as white drivers to be searched at a traffic stop. In the city of Dallas, which is identified by the statistics as a particular area of concern, blacks are searched more often in traffic stops, despite the fact that white drivers are more likely, according to the same statistics, to possess illegal drugs. The Dallas statistics have remained the same for the past 3 years, despite the fact that racial profiling is currently a violation of Dallas police procedures. An MTA officer in New York City has pleaded guilty to beating a homeless man this week. Officer Michael Koenig admitted to beating the man in January 2004 and was sentenced to 200 hours of community service. Koenig resigned from the force after he was arrested last August and charged with felony assault. An Edmonton, Alberta woman and her son were forced by police to kneel in the snow at gunpoint for as long as 20 minutes after the woman called police for help. According to an account in the Edmonton Sun, the woman called police on January 27th after being injured in a brawl outside of her home in which another man had been stabbed. The woman and her son emerged from the house after it was secured by around 15 tactical unit officers, who then forced the two to kneel in the snow for 15 to 20 minutes, while as many as 10 officers had their weapons pointed at them. The average nighttime low temperature in Edmonton at this time of year is minus 14 degrees centigrade or 7 degrees Fahrenheit. Edmonton police say that they are reviewing their actions. A Wisconsin man who was beaten up by a gang of men who identified themselves as off-duty police officers 4 months ago is frustrated with the fact that so far there have been no charges in the case. The man claims that several of the men used racial slurs prior to and during the October 24, 2004 beating. According to Associated Press, witnesses reported that around a dozen men held the man's arms behind his back while he was face down in the street, beating and kicking him. The attackers then removed the man's pants and shoved sticks in his ears. The man had been attending a party with friends when he was accused of stealing a police badge. 4 months later, the report says, the man continues to receive medical treatment, including surgery, for the effects of the beating. A state law enforcement investigation into police misconduct and ticket fixing has decimated the Landrum, South Carolina Police Department. The Associated Press reports this week that two more officers, Scott White and Sergeant Tim Kelly, have been suspended as of last Friday. This brings the number of full-time active duty officers on the eight-member force down to three. A Houston police officer pleaded guilty to sexual assault last Friday. KPRC in Houston reports that Officer Charlie Lofton Jr. handcuffed a woman during a traffic stop in December 2003 and told her that if she did not perform a sex act on him, she would be taken to jail. He was later charged with official oppression and misconduct. Aside from losing his job, Lofton has been sentenced to 1 year of probation, a $750 fine, and 100 hours of community service. Last Friday, the FBI said that they had arrested a police officer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on charges of extortion and bribery. The Chattanoogan reports that Sergeant Jerry Davis was found by an FBI investigation to have used his position as an officer to extort individuals and businesses in the city. The FBI believes that more victims may now come forward as Davis is no longer in a position to threaten them, and the FBI is seeking their help. Earlier the same week, the Chattanooga Police Department fired one officer and suspended two others who were involved in an incident where they beat and tasered two men after a chase. The beating was videotaped and shown on local television. On past programs, we've told you about officers Shane Webb and Ray Brantis, who were fired and suspended respectively in the same incident. This week, Officer Steve Campbell was fired for excessive use of force and failing to file reports. Officer Michael Wenger was suspended for 28 days without pay for use of force causing injury, neglect of duty, and failure to file reports. And Sergeant Chad Sullivan was suspended for 10 days without pay for neglect of duty. Four police officers in Sherbrooke, Quebec, who were found guilty of police brutality, will not serve any time in jail. CBC Montreal reported last Wednesday that two of the officers, Pierre Began and Denis Turgeon, will serve 12 months of house arrest. One officer, Hugh Ray, will receive 6 months of house arrest, and another officer, Guy Hovington, was granted an unconditional discharge. The four were found guilty of beating and kicking a man in the parking garage of a police station. The Police Civilian Review Board in Las Vegas is calling for the firing of two police officers who they say tried to cover up the events surrounding the arrest of a man who had drugs placed into his car by police. A story in the Las Vegas Sun says that the board wants the officers fired for giving false testimony at a court hearing connected to the false arrest. At the hearing, officers Kevin Colmar and David Parker had every opportunity to speak up about the false charge, but failed to do so, even though another officer had already filed paperwork to explain the false charge. The two were found guilty by an internal police investigation of neglect of duty and violation of police procedures. The review board says that the internal investigation did not go far enough and is calling for the officers to be fired. The town council in Brookline, New Hampshire, has voted to suspend their police chief for 2 weeks. The Associated Press says that the town took the action after police failed to appear at a January 13th hearing for a man charged with attempting to kill his wife. A judge was forced to drop the charges against the man at that time. A police officer in Topeka, Kansas, was arrested on Monday and is accused of stealing money intended for use in police investigations. According to Kansas City Star reports, Charles Fortmiller now faces 100 charges, including misuse of public funds, theft, perjury, forgery, and official misconduct. Fortmiller was placed on leave a year ago and resigned last May when he became aware that investigators were looking at his past cases. At that time, the Topeka Police Department said that an unnamed officer was suspected of stealing around $20,000 earmarked for narcotics investigations. A police officer in Ross, Pennsylvania, found himself suspended from duty this week, a few days after investigators discovered a methamphetamine lab in the officer's home. An account in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review says that Officer Michael Baird was arrested last Friday and suspended by a unanimous vote from the Ross Town Council. Baird, who has been on disability for a year and a half, remains in custody. A police officer in Bensonville, Illinois, has been found guilty of 3 misconduct charges stemming from an incident last March where he shot and injured an unarmed person. The Daily Herald account states that Officer Don Purley was recently returned to full active duty after several months manning the police switchboard. The hearing found that Purley had fired his weapon even though the victim of the shooting was unarmed and that the police officer's safety was not threatened in the incident. The victim of the shooting was the same man who had called 911 for help earlier to report a suspicious noise outside of the apartment building where he was the superintendent. A hearing will be held to determine a punishment for the officer, which could range from a written reprimand to job termination. A report from the U.S. State Department on human rights abuses released on Monday makes mention of a number of Canadian police brutality cases. The report specifically mentions excessive use of force by Canadian police in several cities. The report repeated allegations made against the Edmonton, Alberta Police Department. Incidents where police allegedly beat a jaywalker, kicked a man who swore at a police officer, and hit a handcuffed man in the face several times were all mentioned in the report. The report also noted policing issues in Vancouver and mentioned that 2 Saskatoon, Saskatchewan officers were fired last November in connection to a First Nations teenager who froze to death on the outskirts of the city after being taken there and abandoned by police officers. Now, we'll have a closer look at the news involving police use of tasers over the past 2 weeks. Police in Omaha, Nebraska used a taser on a homeless man last Friday. The man was shocked and bitten by a police dog after officers discovered him sleeping in a shed during an investigation. The man, who faces no charges, received medical attention at a hospital. Omaha police will hold a public forum on the safety of tasers in April. A man who was shot by several police tasers in Salinas, California, has died. The 40-year-old man stopped breathing after being shocked by officers responding to a domestic disturbance last Saturday. He was taken to hospital, where he was kept alive until the following day. Two Latino men in Rogers, Arizona, have become the first taser victims of the Rogers Police Department. The men were confronted by officers in their home, tasered, pepper sprayed, and beaten with batons. They are both free on bond after being charged with misdemeanor fleeing and resisting arrest. There will be a coroner's inquest in London, Ontario, this spring to look into both the May 2004 death of a man who was shot by London police with a stun gun and safety issues concerning the weapon. An investigation cleared seven officers of any wrongdoing in the killing and concluded that the man died because he had narcotics in his system and not because of the use of a taser. Stun guns were approved for use in Ontario in 2002. The Syracuse, New York police plan to begin using stun guns within weeks. The family of a man killed by a police taser in Vallejo, California, has launched a lawsuit against Taser International, the manufacturer of the weapons. The man died in September after multiple stun gun shocks applied by police as he tried to climb over a fence. Police in Victoria, British Columbia, used a taser on an elderly man last weekend after he caused a disturbance in his senior's home. Five police officers in Toledo, Ohio, are facing departmental discipline for violation of department policy in an incident in which a man arrested for loitering was shocked nine times with a taser. The Sheriff's Department in Lucas County, Ohio, has temporarily suspended the use of tasers. In Akron, Ohio, tasers have been ruled as a possible cause of death in the case of a man who died after struggling with officers there last month. An examination of South Florida Police Department regulations governing when and how stun guns can be used has found no limitations regarding age or situations when the weapon can be used appropriately. The police in Washington, Iowa, have decided against the purchase of more tasers, although their use remains otherwise unrestricted. Police in Cincinnati used a taser this week on a 16-year-old girl who they say had become unruly at a local hospital. The Sheriff's Department in Jacksonville, Florida, has temporarily suspended the use of tasers entirely. They will resume use of stun guns when a new policy and training program for the weapon can be devised. Currently, a Jacksonville sheriff's deputy is being investigated for using a taser on a 13-year-old girl who was handcuffed in the back of his squad car on February 7th. In Euless, Texas, the assistant chief of police was suspended for 3 days after accidentally shocking a city employee with a taser. Last week, a 52-year-old man died after being shot with a taser by police in Houston. Last week, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that Arizona-based stun gun manufacturer Taser International employs over 250 police consultants to help sell their products throughout the United States. A lawyer for the American Civil Liberties Union of Northern California has expressed concern about whether the officers represent themselves as Taser International employees and points to the huge potential for conflict of interest. 2 months ago, a Minnesota police officer quit his job when it was discovered he was working for Taser International without permission. The company acknowledges the employment of active-duty police officers and their success in helping to sell the weapons to police departments. They have also hired as many as 1,000 officers to instruct purchasers of Taser's recently approved civilian-use stun gun. Stun guns manufactured by the company use a 50,000-volt electric shock lasting 5 seconds to incapacitate their victims, either through direct contact with the skin or through two wire barbs which are shot from the weapon and which are attached to it by two 20-foot wires. Stun guns have been linked to nearly 100 deaths across North America. Some critics of the devices have likened them to torture devices. The report quoted the chief of police in Newark, New Jersey, who decided not to purchase stun guns for his department based on his concerns over the safety of the weapons, specifically their potential to be lethal. the U.S. Justice Department is evaluating the safety of the weapons. Taser International says that their weapons are used by 7,000 police departments in the United States. An Amnesty International report issued last November called on police to suspend use of the weapon until independent tests could be conducted. Amnesty International is also raising alarms over the new civilian model of the weapon that the company recently made available to the public. Other than the killings already mentioned in this program, the police also killed people over the past 2 weeks in Scott, Louisiana, Pleasant Grove, Utah, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Las Cruces, New Mexico, Brooklyn, New York, Stockton, California, Anthem, Arizona, and Temple Terrace, Florida. At the beginning of this week's program, I played you some audio excerpts from some of the broadcast media attention that this program received last week because of criticism from Toronto Police Chief Julian Fantino. Coming up next, we'll listen to part of an interview I gave to Free Radio Santa Cruz after the flood of attention. But first, we'll listen to some of what the mainstream media allowed me to say in defense of Bad Cop No Donut.
When I started producing this radio show, I didn't count on it having the audience that it had this morning. And generally, it broadcasts to an activist-oriented audience, so I wasn't concerned with a word that I'm pretty sure that since my parents were kids, people have been referring to the police by that word. The intention of the show is to point out things that are wrong that the police do, with the end goal being that they don't do that stuff anymore. I have gotten more email than I've ever gotten in my life before, and it's all, with a very few exceptions, it's all been very positive and supportive. I'll tell you something, Andy, I believe that there are good cops on the job in Toronto who have every bit as much of a problem with cops who commit crimes as I do. Mm-hmm. And I would be surprised to learn that that weren't true. And I believe that pro-police stories are fairly prevalent in the mainstream media. All you have to do is turn on the TV every night on one of the privately owned broadcasters. They begin every local newscast with a story about a great thing that the cops mm-hmm. did that day. Mm-hmm. I don't see that there's a need to do it on a station that's licensed to do exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. I was going to make a point and choose I Love Cops for the new email address just to prove that email addresses are completely meaningless. And I think it is. I think that, you know, all of the attention has been focused on an email address and not on the fact that Rick McIntosh got himself arrested for the second time last week. I mean, these are police officers that are held in high regard, we pay good money to protect and service, who are being charged with crimes. I think we all ought to be concerned about that. And I think that if more people knew how often this happens in how many places across North America, I think they'd feel a lot differently about it than it's just a few bad eggs. I really don't think it is.
I don't know if the chief has heard my show, but he seems to be portraying it in a light that is not entirely accurate. It's a review of the press on police officers that are charged with various crimes. I don't editorialize on the show. The mandate of the show, I think, is this, that these incidents happen with alarming frequency across North America. I think that often these kinds of stories are dealt with in the media, they're only dealt with as local stories, and they tend to get regarded as a few isolated bad eggs. And I would suggest to you that when you hear it week after week, it's alarmingly common. I would suggest it's an epidemic, and people, if anything is to be done about it, need to first be informed about it. CKLN has a very specific mandate to provide voices that aren't heard in the mainstream media. It's my personal opinion, I'm sure you'd agree, that the police are usually dealt with in a pretty favorable way in the media. There are a lot of good police officers out there, but I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a good police officer, then I don't like cops who commit crimes either. I'm saying it's an email address, and that if he listens to the show, he'll hear that it's not hate-mongering. He's focusing on an email address, which I agree, it's an unnecessary source of attention, and it takes away from the message of the show, which is why I've decided to change it.
Ron, what was your reaction when you saw the headline in the Star?
Well, I knew it was coming for a little while, actually. I was a little mystified by the chief's characterizations of my work. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're very fair.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't think he has a legitimate complaint. I mean, as far as having the show banned is concerned, I don't think there's anyone who really has suggested that seriously, aside from him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the only one who thinks that that's an achievable goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume. And, yeah, I'm just I'm perplexed about why he's picking on a guy who's on the radio on a 250-watt radio station at 6 in the morning.
Well,
on a weekday. I can see why people are offended by it, while I'm not myself, and I'm happy to change it so that the attention is no longer focused on an email address, but is more likely to be focused on the show itself. I document cases of police brutality and misconduct and corruption across North America. It's my thesis, I guess, that these things happen a lot more frequently than a lot of us know about, and it's a problem that's worth dealing with as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
In the media, these stories often get treated as isolated incidents, and I don't think that's very accurate. While the media does report on cases of police abuse, it's the context. The question I ask myself frequently is, why is there only one Rodney King when there are so many Rodney Kings? I guess what I'm doing is just trying to remedy that situation in the small way that I'm able to, with the means, you know, very meager means that I have at my disposal. Well, we've had our own scandals here in Toronto with our police. There's an ongoing RCMP investigation. It's been going on 2 years already. There have been several dozen charges laid against Toronto police officers as a result of this investigation, and that's one investigation. The thing about civilian oversight, from what I gather from people who have written and studied civilian oversight, it's a process that needs to be renewed vigorously, and it's been proposed by one person I was reading recently that this is a cycle that needs to happen every 5 or 6 years. Ultimately, a police oversight commission or civilian oversight commission can only be as effective as it is able to keep its distance from the police. If they're too close with the police, then they can't really be seen as objective regulators. Well, first of all, I don't think that my political beliefs have anything to do with my journalism any more than who you voted for in the last election has anything to do with what you do at work.
Right.
And I do believe that the police fill a valuable social service function. I appreciate that they are there to direct traffic in times when it's necessary and occasionally risk life and limb in the line of duty to protect and serve people. I don't think that's all the police do, however, and that's where I think we run into differences in opinion. You know, I've called the police on occasion in the past. I think that they serve a necessary social function. It's just that when they go beyond that I would question the legitimacy of their role in society.
It's a weekly review of articles from the mainstream press about police officers who commit criminal acts or who are getting sued or who engage in acts of brutality and misconduct, that sort of thing. Everything is taken from a newspaper. I've been producing the show in this format since September and haven't heard anything until we learned through the media that the police chief had some issues with the show. About the email address, it's my feeling that it, especially in light of the fact that it's been getting a lot of attention that it doesn't normally get, the show that is, that it's sort of an unnecessary distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want something that I see as fairly insignificant, like an email address, to take away from what I do on the show, which is discuss issues that are fairly serious in a fairly well-researched manner. On CKLN, we have a mandate, which is common to community and campus radio stations across the country, and that is that we are licensed to serve communities that don't have a voice in the mainstream media. The police are not one of those groups. I would suggest to you that the police are very well represented and often in a flattering and positive light in the mainstream media, and they don't really need us to be doing that. However, many of the communities that we serve are communities that are directly affected to a greater proportion by acts of police misconduct. Yeah, I understand that, but the chief seems to live in this fantasy world where he can decide upon using some standards that we're not privy to say something is hate-mongering, when if he had taken the time to listen to the program, it clearly is not. I don't understand. He seems to live in a world where he can snap his fingers and make something go away. But had he had a legitimate complaint, I'd suggest to you that he wouldn't be attacking me in the media. He'd be writing a letter of complaint to the CRTC or consulting his lawyer for some kind of legal action. The fact is, I'm engaging in journalism. That's all I'm doing. I would suggest he has a separate agenda. Tomorrow is his last day on the job. And I guess getting his face on TV one last time might be an explanation of what's happening. I don't think there's a rational explanation for what's happening.
I'm sure
in some world this makes sense to someone. There is a lot of distance between CKLN and the administration of Ryerson University. We have a close relationship with RISAC, which is the student union.
Okay.
We receive funding from them. They have members on our board of directors, and we're not trying to distance ourselves from each other.
You've been coming under fire. We did an interview last week about outgoing police chief who just took offense to your show, supposedly, or mainly your email address, ihatepigs@hotmail.com.
Well, it turns out that, I mean, I'm not really sure if it was the chief or the media that was focusing on the email address. It seemed like the media seemed to really latch on to that as a source of trouble, which is what we expected. You'll remember I told you last week I made the decision to change it before any of the media reported a thing. And oddly enough, they all knew about the change before they went ahead with their either articles or stories. There were some tense moments for everybody up here. We were not sure how it was going to work out. When I spoke with you last week, I wasn't even aware of what the chief said. And you asked me at the time if he had been calling for the show to be taken off the air, and I told you I didn't know. Now I can tell you that yes, he does. He does want to take it off of the air.
Still, even though his last day was yesterday.
Yeah. Well,
seems like he'd be out fishing somewhere or doing something, retiring.
Well, I guess all the friendly press you can get on your last week on the job. He's gotten himself quite a good promotion. He's the head of the he's now the head of emergency management for the entire province.
Really? What's that mean? Is that like Homeland Security or something?
It's sort of like that, but in Canada, it's much more likely to be a natural disaster, like an ice storm or a flood or that kind of thing. Let's just say, though, that knowing that Mr. Fantino is on this job does not make me feel filled with safe thoughts.
Do they have a new chief in place yet?
No, the new chief will not be in place for a couple months, is what they're saying. And there's going to be the usual political battle over who the replacement is. I just hope it's somebody with a little more common sense.
So it's been a week, and let me know what's the fallout of all this. Obviously, Chief Fantino came down on you because of your show Bad Cop No Donut, saying evidently because of the email that...
Well, he says it's hate-mongering.
Right.
I'm not sure. This is the thing. I never heard him say that it had anything to do with the email address.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's the media who have latched onto that. I mean, because I can see how people would be offended by it. I assume that they see that as well and kind of chose to drill that home. I mean, you've heard some of the interviews that I had to do with people in the mainstream media.
Yeah, we're going to play some of that just so folks can get a taste.
And they really harped on the email address. One guy who was on the, I'll hesitate to use the word progressive, but the slightly left of extreme right.
Your NPR over
publicly
there?
Funded radio network in Canada, the CBC. I expected that they were going to be a soft touch, but they really gave me a bit of a difficult time.
You also did a little two interviews on AM 640.
640 News was funny. I was literally ambushed by the former head of the Toronto Police Union. They didn't tell me beforehand that he was going to be involved in the program at all. And it was it's ironic. The guy these days is a talk show, is one of these, you know, conservative talk show hosts. I know you have them in America. I've heard of a few of them. He's one of these guys. And not only is he a talk show host, but he, as a former police officer, his record was not stellar. While he's never been found guilty of committing a crime, he has been the defendant in lawsuits.
What we're talking about is Craig...
Craig Bromell.
Bromell, that's right.
Bromell.
He was on the show, which, of course, they did not tell you.
No, they did not tell me.
He was going to be on the
show. And he was one of six people who were a defendant very recently in a trial by a man who was taken down to a place in Toronto that they called Cherry Beach by six cops and had the crap beat out of him.
Hmm.
Now, this guy took the six police officers, which included Craig Bromell, to court. And the evidence that was presented in the trial was damning. There was DNA evidence, chunks of the man's hair that was found on police equipment belonging to the officers. He was looking at winning his case, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what the police did is they settled out of court for, I don't remember what the number was. This cop that I get attacked with on the radio is a cop that the taxpayers of Toronto have had to, you know, pay out millions of dollars for to settle the various claims against him.
Right.
So while I can't tell you that Craig Bromell beat the crap out of a guy because they never admitted guilt to that, I mean, I can allow you to draw your own conclusions. I would suggest that they wouldn't be paying out $1 million if he was innocent.
Let's take a little listen to the ambush here.
Okay.
This is about 2 minutes into the program, and right when they reveal him.
You can literally hear the exasperation in my voice.
I hope you don't mind that Craig Bromell, who co-hosts the Beat, the show on after mine. Well, no, because, I mean, you know, we're all about fair and balanced, aren't we? You're a journalist. Are you a journalist, by the way?
Yeah.
If you're a journalist, then where is the balance?
CKLN has a very specific mandate to provide voices that aren't heard in the mainstream media. It's my personal opinion, I'm sure you'd agree, that the police are usually dealt with in a pretty favorable way in the media.
All right, let's get Craig in here. Craig, you've been listening. I mean, you're smirking here. Are you dismissing everything he has to say?
I just want to know, is it Ron?
Yeah,
sorry, Ron. I couldn't remember your name there. How are you doing? I just want to, do you know how many police officers are actually in North America? Like, how many are in Canada and how many are in the States?
Well, I know there's around 7,000 in Toronto. I mean, I know about the ones around me, I guess.
There's about 60,000 in Canada and about 250,000 in the States.
Yes.
And you do hear these stories, but when you talk epidemic, are you really giving it a fair chance there? I mean, do you know in Toronto alone that they have 5 million contacts with the public every year?
Yeah.
And the amount of complaints that come out is so minuscule. Do you really think you're giving them a fair chance by...
you're raising a few issues. First of all, there's the issue of the complaints process itself. A lot of people don't make complaints to the police because they are...
How do you know that, though? How do you know that? Like, how many people do you talk to about that?
I talk to people about that an awful lot lately.
Well, like, how many?
I've gotten dozens of emails in the last 2 days where people are describing.
Okay, that's fair.
Are describing these kinds of things.
And what are they describing?
They're expressing their support of the work I'm doing, but they're also relating to me their personal experiences.
Can you give us
their interactions with the police?
I'm just trying to put in my head here.
I don't hate all police officers. I realize there are a lot of good police officers out there, but I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a good police officer, then I don't like cops who commit crimes either.
All right, but listen, you know, you use the operative word hate, and your own website is ihatepigs.com.
That is the former email address of the show, and I think that...
When did that stop, by the way?
What's that?
When did you stop that particular email address?
Shortly before I realized that the show was going to be coming to the attention of a much larger audience.
Within the last week then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. A couple of days ago, maybe?
Within the past week.
All right, but you see, I mean, the sentiment still stands. IHatePigs.com.
Well,
you're telling
I
after your hand here.
You know, John, you have friends that have email addresses that are a little odd, and if you took them seriously.
Well, all right, so when the chief's making this case that this is hate mongering, you've just lent credence to his argument.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying it's an email address, and that it, if he listens to the show, he'll hear that it's not hate mongering. He's focusing on an email address, which I agree, it's an unnecessary source of attention, and it takes away from the message of the show, which is why I've decided to change it.
All right, because I know you're all also in other markets at campus stations and whatever else. Did you want any parting words, Craig? Or I mean, let me just say, you and I have spoken on this one, and I think the chief was wrong to respond to it in the fashion he did. Otherwise, we would not be talking to Ron Anisich right now.
I agree 100%.
No, my comment yesterday on this was I think freedom of speech, I don't think it should be taken off, but I think you have to have your facts straight, Ron, and I think you have to give positive with negative. That's my issue here, is that there's so much good work being done out there, a vast majority of what, other than what you're being reported, and you take Toronto for an example, 5 million contacts a year and less than 500 complaints, those are pretty good numbers, you have to admit that.
I've got to, Ron, I got to let you go, but I think you're preaching to the converted, but nonetheless.
yeah, I agree.
Well, okay. I appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, there you Ron. Go. Ron Anisich, by the way, not a student at Ryerson, but for 15 years he's been there. He considers himself a journalist, and that might draw into question the balance or lack thereof. I know, Craig, that's what you've been carping on.
Yeah, there's a couple things that I'd like to say about that.
Go for it.
One is that Craig Bermell hosts his own show about the police on that same station, all right? And he's telling me that I'm biased and one-sided, and I'm not taking all the facts into consideration. But if you've ever heard his program, which I have not, but I've heard it described by others who work at that radio station as a cop love fest. Now, this is the guy who's telling me that I'm not telling both sides of the story. I just find that ironic. And to come from a cop that I would personally characterize as a corrupt one, that whole thing was amazing.
Well, he tells you to get your facts straight when you get most of the facts from the mainstream media.
Yeah, like, no, he didn't mention a single fact that I got wrong. His problem is that I describe police abuse as an epidemic, and that's based on, you know, the incredible volume of information that I can dig up each week.
That's
got
amazing.
A bit of a different point of view than I have.
Well, those AM stations are reckless for doing stuff like that, you know.
And the other thing about that was when he's like, you know, insisting that we have to be fair and balanced, but, you know, and insinuating that I might not be an actual journalist. A journalist who is interested in doing work that is fair does not ambush you with a former corrupt police officer in the middle of an interview without telling you about it. That doesn't fall under the category of fairness, in my opinion. But.
So Craig Browell, he does a program on...
Craig Bromell.
Bromell. Yeah. Bromell, B-R-O-M-E-L-L, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that station online? It'd be interesting to listen.
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't really recommend listening to it.
Just for kicks, you know?
I don't listen to that radio station myself.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny how those people work. They don't like to hear, you know, they talk about fair and balanced. I mean, I'm talking to somebody who lives in the land of Fox News. I probably don't have to explain this, but they might say fair and balanced, but that's not always what you get.
Well, speaking of your show, Bad Cop, No Donut, I'm looking at the website now, and you got news from February 28th. You got a lot of updates, and I was kind of curious, how do you go about gathering the news, the stories?
There are two or three ways. One is that I visit websites that deal with these kinds of stories. There are a few of them out there. The people who, I know you know the people who do Slave Revolt Radio.
Yeah.
They have a website that documents police abuse cases, for example. There's a Yahoo group that I'm a member of that documents those kinds of cases. And I spend a lot of time doing research. The majority of the time I spend preparing the show every week is just finding the articles. Mostly it's through keyword searches.
I mean, you got tons of stories. You got, I guess, King City, which is right here in California. First story about a sheriff's deputy accused of protecting a prostitution ring.
Oh, that's actually King County. I think that's King County.
That's
around Seattle.
Okay. I got it mistook. But I'm just going through Anaheim, Springfield.
Yeah, it's amazing how much news there is out there. I don't even, you know, every week when I'm putting the show together, I really literally don't know where to start.
Cop that shot a guy throwing a rock at him after he tried to taser on him.
That'll happen. You know, it's my point of view, Bob, that the police kill people pretty frequently. And it's just my opinion that there's always a better way to deal with a problem than killing a guy or a person. You know, even if you're being attacked with a guy with a rock, if you're, you know, half a dozen guys with guns, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to deal with that situation in a manner that didn't end up with somebody being dead. It just seems to me that all too often the police use a series of excuses for using lethal force.
Right.
I've noticed lately it's, they were in their car and they backed up and drove into the car. Well, there's no real way to prove something like that did or didn't happen. I would suggest to you that this is a cover for something much more sinister. I'm not basing this on any specific facts. I can think of individual cases here in Toronto where the cops claims to have been being attacked, and the story that they used to justify their killing just didn't add up in the end. There's a kid named Jeffrey Riotica who was killed by police up here in Toronto not too long ago. Just this year, and they said he had a knife or he had a rock or in the end there wasn't a weapon found, and all the witnesses to the event strongly dispute the police version of what happened. And in fact, you know, these things happen all the time. On the very day, Bob, when I was on the front page of the largest newspaper in Canada, if you search back in the B section of the paper towards the back of it,
Toronto Star, right?
There's two articles. One is about a 37-year-old Nigerian man who somehow, they aren't saying how, ended up dead after a confrontation with the police the night before. And another cop, another Toronto police officer, who was up on 13 charges, including assault, sexual assault, pointing a firearm at all in relation to a female, alleged female victim. And because the case took too long to come to court, they dropped all the charges against the police officer over a legal technicality. Now, these two stories are in the exact same paper that I'm in, except they're buried in the back of the paper, and the fact that I'm an alleged hate monger and the chief doesn't like me is somehow front page news.
It should have been connected. It should, by the way, you know.
Well, you know what I said to another guy who I did an interview with last week. He suggested that, well, so you're saying the police killing should be on the front page, and you should be on page, you know, J12. And I'm like, you know, I don't think I should be there at all. I don't get why I'm news exactly. You know, is it so shocking? Is the concept of journalism so foreign to people in the mainstream media that some guy doing it at 6 a.m. on a 250-watt radio station is actually news? I don't know. I'm kind of confused about a lot of what's happened.
The interesting fact that I found listening to some of these interviews, and we're not going to be able to play all of them, but that I heard was that when you report these, like especially killings or beatings or whatever, they're all reported in local newspapers, and so the whole...
Everything that I say on the show comes from a mainstream media news source.
But from a local, like a local paper, so it's not in...
Well, very often they're only reported as local cases. Like, do you remember we did a whole hour-long show earlier this month about a guy in a police officer in Wisconsin named Daniel Wineski? Outside of Trempealeau County, Wisconsin, that was not covered in any newspaper that I'm aware of. So people outside of Whitehall, Wisconsin, don't know about a cop who violated, sexually assaulted women for 30 years. Untold number of victims. And it was only covered in the local papers. To me, that sounds like a huge story.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the media doesn't see it the same way.
And basically what you do is you gather up those stories and you read them all in sometimes 15 minutes.
It's important to me that people make the connections, Bob. It's important that people, to me, that people know that what happens in their town, you know, the same thing's going on in some other town not all that far, and you don't always know about it.
Exactly.
I think that when people know, then it's very hard to say it's a bad apple. If
right.
you know that there's a cop doing that across the state or a couple states over, then it makes you think twice about that.
You can download the unedited version of that interview from radio.indymedia.org. I'd like to take a moment now to thank everyone who sent messages of support to CKLN and myself. I would also like to say one more time that this program will remain essentially unchanged for the foreseeable future. However, starting now, you should send your comments and story ideas to our new email address, ron@ckln.fm. That's all for now. Tune into this station next week for more. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich. Every week we end Bad Cop No Donut with a song. This week, it's I Really Like the Cops by Desert Rat.
I have heard some people make some very degrading comments about the cops recently, and I personally believe that people should refrain from making degrading comments about the cops, because the cops have a very difficult job, and they do it very well with great pride and integrity, and therefore I wrote a song in support of the cops, and it goes like this. Come and gather round, you people, now, and listen to me yak. All you doctors and you lawyers and you folks who push the crack, and all you folks who push the buttons and you folks who push the mops, come listen while I tell you how I really like the cops. Oh, I really like the cops. I think they're pretty cool. I like them in my neighborhood. I like them in my school. I think the cops are wonderful. I think the cops are nice. And I like to have a broken jaw and carry a pack of ice. I really like the cops. I think they're pretty neat. I like it when they take my face and smash it on the street, and then they drag me to a station and they lock me in a room, and then I like it when they rape me up the anus with the broom. I really like the cops. They make me want to sing. You know my favorite movie is that tape of Rodney King, and so I really get pissed off whenever somebody like you suggests we should subject the cops to citizens' review. I really like the cops. I am so glad that they're around to hassle me and ticket me for sitting on the ground. I really love the cops. I'd be so sad if they were gone. There's something about a uniform that always turns me on. Yeah, I really like the cops so much, folks, that I don't think you should find out the number of your local cop watch group. And if there is no cop watch group in your town, that's good. I don't think you should start one. And if you're walking down the street and you see somebody getting hassled by the cops, I don't think you should stop and see what happens. I think you should just walk on by, because that person must deserve everything they get for not looking rich enough for the cops to leave them alone. And if you're with a group of people and the cops start picking on one of you, I don't think you should stick up for that person at all. I think you should just let the police physically and psychologically isolate your companion. And I don't think you should carry one of those little disposable drugstore cameras on your person at all times to document police brutality with when you see it. And I don't think your town should have a civilian review board to investigate citizen complaints against cops. And if you do have a board like that, then I think it should just be a rubber stamp committee that approves of everything the cops do. And if there's a cop in your town who makes a regular habit of beating up unarmed people, or raping women at gunpoint, or raping men at gunpoint, or killing people for an adrenaline rush because he is a psychopath, then I think that he should not be fired. And if he is fired, then that is definitely punishment enough for him, and he should not be prosecuted. And I most definitely do not think that you should put his name and his address and his telephone number and his list of crimes on a flyer and post that flyer all over town. And I don't think you should go to his neighborhood and talk to all his neighbors like people do when a convicted sex offender moves into a neighborhood and let them know what he has done. And I don't think that you should egg his house or slash his tires or run him out of town. And I don't think that when he applies for a job on the police force in the next town over the hill, I don't think you should go to that town too and do the same thing and make sure that he never works as a police officer again. I don't think you should do any of this, because your town has the best police department in the world. Oh yes, I really like the cops, just to see 'em gets me high. I hope that I get taken into custody and die, and then I hope that every fact that's in the coroner's report gets chucked into a dumpster so it won't be heard in court. A-yoodle-ay, a-yoodle-oo, a-yoodle-ay, a-yoodle-oo, a-yoodle-ay. And when I hear you making statements that you know are quite obscene, like how the cops are nasty and like how the cops are mean, it makes me want to tell you that you ought to get some class and help your local officers by kicking your own ass. So come gather around you people now and listen to me yak. All you doctors and your lawyers and your folks who push the crack and all you folks who push the buttons and your folks who push the mops. Come listen, I'll tell you how I really like the cops.